What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Lead2B, the sassiest podcast for B2B and beyond, and your go-to place for fun and actionable conversations with industry leaders. I'm your growth marketing host, Lee Moskowitz. Coming to the mic today is Junaid Iqbal, the founder of NoDegree.com and host of the No Degree podcast, with a bold mission to shatter stigmas and empower individuals without traditional academic backgrounds and college degrees. Junaid is helping people level up their careers one success story at a time. As a UMAP-certified career coach, Junaid has guided over 500 candidates to success at prestigious companies like Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and a whole others I'm not going to list right now. We can talk about it later. But his impact extends beyond placements. He's fostering a movement of empowerment and inclusivity in the workplace. Join us for resume tips, his unwavering commitment to breaking barriers, and his vision for a more inclusive future on Lead2B.
What's up?
Welcome, welcome. So my very first question for you is, what is a UMAP certified career coach? It sounds like a big deal. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, no. So I met someone online who was a Gallup Strength certified career coach. So Gallup Strength Finder, it's like a bunch of questions that you take, and it's really good kind of to get an idea of like where your strengths are. I wish I had done that earlier in my career so I could figure out like, hey, you know what? I'm entrepreneurial. I'm this, I'm that, and I should go into more of this area. So one of the things is it doesn't give enough. So UMAP kind of takes it to the next level where it's like kind of figuring out where your strengths lie, where your weaknesses lie, and then figuring out what type of career. So for example, my top five Gallup strengths are futuristic, self-assurance, developer, achiever, and I forgot the fifth one. But basically, that combo is geared towards being an entrepreneur, right? Like, I like making a difference. I have a strong belief in myself. That's why I quit my job to do something of my own. I like growing people. I like growing teams. And then through my work, I like growing people. So I wish I had known that instead of kind of figuring things out. And had I known that earlier in my career, like one of my team members, one of his top skills is harmony. So he's the one, the conflict resolution, the communication person, he's really good at that. And then I had another team member who's really good at research, right? Like they really like doing research. So for them, they're more like a, not necessarily execution, but more research. So it just helps me run my company. And then some of my clients, they want to kind of go through that. Like, hey, I've done all these jobs, but I really want to figure out what I want to do.
Yeah. So honestly, so many questions there. But one thing I really want to focus on, because it's something kind of unique that you're really focusing on, and it's shattering the stigmas around hiring people without college degrees. So before we even get into that, I'm curious, what made you start that?
I was on Reddit. It's like 9.5 years ago, August 2014. Someone asked, for those of you without a college degree who make over six figures, like, what do you do and how'd you get the job? And people were like, I'm a claims adjuster. I work in marketing. I do automation, elevator repair. And it was like, how'd you get the job? It was like my uncle, my cousin, my friend, my mom's cousin back home, whatever. And I was thinking, first of all, these are careers that people don't think about. Like, you know, you work in like the marketing area. Like, how many marketing jobs do people just not even know about? Like, there's so many niches of marketing. And then it was like, what if you don't have that family member or friend that can really help you? Like, are you doomed to kind of work a bad job? So I was like, why can't I be that uncle, cousin, or friend? And why can't I help other people become aware about these jobs and then give them a roadmap of like, okay, here's what a claims adjuster does. Here's how you can become one yourself.
Yeah, so that is amazing. And I think that sounds like it was an Ask Reddit thread. What you're hitting on is just like, if you don't know somebody, it's hard to get a job. And it's easier to get a job if you do know somebody. So what are some of the tips you have for breaking through? Very basic breakthroughs.
Yeah, so breakthroughs. So first, oftentimes is, I mean, I have a podcast called the No Degree Podcast. So if you're really trying to figure out careers, first learn of what you want to break into. I think too many people, they have this thing, but I always say, listen to podcasts, do a little research about yourself so you have an idea. Like, what does a software engineer do? What does a marketer do? What does a paid search person do? What does, I don't know, UX design, UI UX design person do? Look into these careers. Now, once you start diving a little in, now, and this is specifically for people who don't have much experience, is you have to create your own experience. So oftentimes that's by doing projects. So let's say you want to become a marketer and you want to focus on email marketing. Now, HubSpot and Salesforce have some free courses, you know, kind of go through it, do a little research. And then what I would say, learn the tools, right? So what tools do email marketers use? And you'll find some things on YouTube of like, okay, here's what it is. Then I would go listen to like a podcast about email marketing. And then once you gain a little knowledge, you can approach a small business, you know, who's starting out and just be like, hey, Lee, I know you have a cool podcast. I'm kind of starting out. I'm a fan of yours. Be like, do you currently do some email marketing? I see that you don't. I'd love to manage your email for free. And I'd love to grow you a newsletter. Now, most podcasters would be like, thank you. Like, I actually need that. I need help with this. Now you start learning it and you get some experience. Now put it on your resume. Now, sometimes that may be enough to get one job. You may have to do it for like 2-3 other people. And the beauty is you don't have to spend 20-30 hours a week. Even something like 5-10 hours a week per person, you get that going, build up that portfolio, learn the nuances. Now you make a resume highlighting that, like, hey, I grew an email list from 0 to 500. You know, I was able to get this many. I was able to land guests. I was able to do this. I was able to increase open rates. I was able to optimize, drive more downloads, right? So now you're a marketer. Same thing, software engineering, right? You may want to do something, some automations, but it's all about putting yourself out there and building that portfolio and using that portfolio to get your first job.
I love that. And what you hit on is so important, because when I speak to job seekers, and I speak to a lot of them, they're like, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to change jobs and I want to transition. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you want to do either. So like, nobody can really tell you that, but you can listen to people, like what you're saying, going on the podcast, listening to podcasts, or just reading different job descriptions. So maybe even just pick an industry, and then you're gonna say, I don't know what industry, but let's just do an industry. All right. You want to work in, let's say, sustainability. All right. Go look at marketing jobs and sustainability. Look at social media jobs and sustainability. Then look at sales jobs and so on and so forth, and everything like that.
Yeah. I find so many people don't do that. Like, they'll be like, hey, how do I get a job as an AI prompt engineer? I was like, look up AI prompt engineer jobs and see what it requires, and then figure out, can you do that? Can you learn how to do that? It's a lot of the stuff is in the job description. Now, they're not going to give you the full answer. They're going to tell you what you need to do. Now you need to figure out how you can learn how to do those things. But again, the job descriptions tell a lot, and just kind of see. And then the other thing is like, I see so many people, they're like, hey, I want to work in event planning. Okay, go volunteer at an event. Kind of see how things are run. Build some contact. See if you actually like it. See, are the people stressed? Does it exhilarate you or does it drain you? Do those things, because you don't want to get a job and then find out you hate it and then all that. The other thing is, once you get a job, you're going to actually learn a lot more, because now let's say you work in events, you like the promotion aspect. Hey, maybe you like the working with the vendor aspect. Maybe you like the sourcing aspect. Maybe you like sourcing speakers aspect. And then you learn, like, oh, wow, at events, like, people speak and they get paid. Oh, you know what? I actually want to be a speaker. So now you come in with a lot of experience. So you always have to be strategic in how you approach things. And that's what I advocate for.
Like you said earlier, like, even in marketing, it's like, what do you want to do in marketing? Like, growth marketing has taken a while for me to land on. It's like, marketing is the biggest umbrella there is. PR is a bucket under marketing. Social's under marketing. So one, love how you said, like, even something as like saying, like, I want to work in marketing might not be as specific enough. But like, the real hard thing for a lot of career transitioners, though, is the resume doesn't speak to the new job position. And most companies will say, oh, yeah, we want to hire career transitioners, but they don't want to be the first one to make that hire. They don't want to be the first one to hire them. They like it after they already had a solid job. So how do career transitioners optimize their resume in a way that's like, this is a new job for me, but these are the skills that kind of carry over?
So first, you need to look at the job descriptions of what you want to transition to, and then look at your current job and take an inventory of, hey, what's important from this job? What translates over? And then you yourself have to figure out, how do you translate over? So let's say you're a salesperson that wants to transfer over to operations. And then you can be like, hey, I can use my sales skills to influence stakeholders. I can get buy-in. I can also work with sales teams because I know how they operate and I know what they do, right? So you have to realize how your background is an asset and how that gives you a unique edge, right? So now let's say you want to go, if you're a salesperson, you want to go do operations. Maybe you could do an operations for a lead generation company or a sales coaching company, right? So you have to think about how whatever you do is an asset, how that adds. Like someone was telling me how they were an engineer and they wanted to be an accountant. They ended up being working for accounting in an engineering firm because they could talk to the engineers, right? So it's all about how do I fit in? You can't change your background, but you can show how it's an asset. And there are hundreds of scenarios where that can happen. The other thing is now show that. So if you want to become an engineer to an accountant, you may have to spend free time outside of work, like helping a small business with their financial statements, or show how you did analysis in your current role, and then show how you're taking courses, you're either going back to school, you're getting certifications, and all that. So you have to really show that. For example, I've seen a lot of people go from retail, like restaurant, to marketing. And what they do is in the restaurant, they help with the promos, they help with the social media, they help with those aspects and they grow the followers and they use that as leverage. So always try to see what can you do in your current role that brings you to that role. So now let's say you want to go from sales to operations. In your current role, why don't you start taking some time out to help the operations team and now show that you're doing that. Now, the other thing that a lot of people don't share is you can change your title at your current job. Now, when you're changing your title, it has to be organic. Like, don't say you're a sales representative if you're not doing sales. But let's say you're in operations and you help the sales team, you could say operations manager and sales support specialist. As long as the title is organic and it reflects some of the work that you do, it's perfectly fine. Now, when you get the background pick, just let them know, hey, that's not my official title, but that's kind of what I do for work. Just want to let you know. But my official title is XYZ, because a lot of times the official title is like weird and it's not even reflective of the actual work you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, titles can be misleading. And a part of my career, I was like, you know what? I don't care about titles. I don't want to be the guy who's like, yeah, I really care about the title. And, you know, people have called me social media guy, the marketing person, ads person. So it's part of me has always been like, you know, I don't care about titles. But then when it comes to the resume and you're looking for new jobs, titles matter so much because they scan for the previous titles you have. Sometimes the job description will literally say, like, you have had experience in this exact job role. So, yes, job titles are important and can often be forgotten about in that attitude. Yeah, so one other thing on this subject, kind of related to that, is when someone's looking for work, they're always updating their resume and they're very vigilant about it. But it's much easier to get the stats you need while you're currently at the job you're at to really make your resume. And it's easier to keep tabs of your accomplishments while you're at that job. But a lot of people are like, you know what, I am at my job and I'm so busy, I can't keep track of all this stuff for later on, or they're not even thinking about it for later on. So something that's not talked about as much is, what do you think people who are in jobs currently, whether they're looking for or not, could be doing so that when it does come time for their resume and it does come time for when they're looking for a job, that they already have this saved? Or they've already done this with their resume. What would you say for that?
So if you're already at your job, you and I are on LinkedIn. We see it all the time. I've seen people who've been working for companies 20 plus years laid off. And again, it could happen to anybody. And sometimes I've even read a story on Reddit where someone was forced to lay off their whole team. 3 weeks afterwards, they got laid off. So people who do layoffs, they have very little emotion. They don't care. Yeah, maybe they might cry that day, but they're still getting paid. They're still living a good life and all that, right? They move on. So one thing I would say is have a Google Doc with like your accomplishments, because regardless, even if you're looking for a job or not, you need this for your performance review. And when you're advocating for yourself and you're trying to get a raise, again, keep track of, let's say you're marketing, what are the impressions? What are the client results? Did you save time? Did you make more money? Did you launch something new? What's the highest that you did? Because oftentimes when I meet people who at their current job, they're like, hey, I closed 2 million in sales. When you do the calculation, like, oh, I actually closed 4 million. or it's like, hey, I saved five, you know, I saved the company, you know, I think like 20K. And they're like, oh, I saved the company like 80K. So this is something that, again, you don't know. So now if you're in the role, have that Google Doc, have that running sheet. Again, it doesn't have to be nice. Just say, save 200K, save this, brought in big account, brought in this, brought in that, save 4 hours a week. Now, when you're doing your resume, you are not at the job. It's perfectly fine to estimate. So let's say you know you eliminated a vendor because you brought things in-house. You can be like, all right, you know what? They had two marketers. You know, we must have been paying like $2,000 a month for Eat, so 4K, so 12 months in a year, about 50K. So don't say that you saved them 50K a year if it's really 200, but don't say 50K if it's really 10K. Because how people get in trouble is they'll say, hey, I saved the company $500,000. They're like, oh, how'd you save it? Like, oh, we had a marketing agency. Like, oh, what were you doing? Oh, they're just doing one social media post a day. And they're going to be like, oh, so you're paying 50K a month for one social media post? Like, was it any video? Was it any of that? It was a multi-platform. That's when people get in trouble. So make sure it's in the realm of reason that it makes sense. Because anything on your resume, people do have the right to drill you on. And if you're not sure, it shouldn't be on your resume. And that's why it's better to like be conservative than be, you know, too high. Because again, some people like, hey, our company made 20 million from email marketing. And it's like, okay, but your company made 30 million. So you're saying 66% came from email marketing. Like, don't you have like a whole sales team? Like, why do you have a sales team if it's all from email marketing? Again, if you have a story, that's fine, but you have to justify it.
Yes, yes. So important that the numbers are real, that you are keeping track of these numbers, because people will ask you about it. The other really good thing to do if you're in a current role is when people compliment you or when people praise you, just save those messages somewhere. There's a big question that interviewers ask is how would other people describe you? And it's amazing when you go, oh, well, I actually have this screenshot right here that I can show you. So always do that as well, is what I'd say.
I'm going to give you something even better. When they give you that praise, you're going to say, hey, do you mind leaving a recommendation at the bottom of my LinkedIn profile? I would really appreciate it, and I have no issue doing the same for you. Now, when you go into an interview, how would your coworkers describe you? Say, hey, my coworkers describe you by XYZ, and feel free to check out the recommendation at the bottom of my profile so you can see what my coworkers have to say in their own words. And now you're forcing them to go to your LinkedIn profile, and then when you have several, it will set you apart.
Love that. Yeah. Recommendations on LinkedIn, like honestly, they go so far, especially when you are applying for jobs. And yeah. So one thing I definitely do want to touch on, we kind of hinted at before, is your podcast, because it's a great show. Again, the name is the No Degree Podcast. So just talk about your show a bit for our listeners.
So, you know, I'm a career coach, so I charge for resumes, interview prep, and all that. Now, I understand not everyone's in a financial position to receive help, right? You know, just because, look, I'd love to do a lot for free, but I have limited time. Like, I'm literally working, you know, midnight to 3 a.m. some nights just doing client resumes, and I'm, like, really overloaded, right? And it's tough. I enjoy it, but it's still a lot of work. But I wanted to create a free resource where I shared with people, oh, how did this person in marketing move up to like director of marketing or CMO without a college degree? How did this person become a software engineer? How did this person become a product manager? So I share real stories of people who don't have college degrees and their journeys. And then people can learn like, oh, this is possible. So one thing I do is show that it's first possible, because oftentimes people think like, oh no, only Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, there's so many qualified people without college degrees who are making an actual impact, who are changing things, who are normal everyday people and who still make good money. So I want to share that. And then, you know, I'll sometimes go into certain topics on like maybe how to find a job, how to network and all that. But I just wanted to give people a free resource so they could learn.
Yeah. And yeah, no, I love it. Go listen to it if you haven't already. Well, actually, once you finish this episode, you can listen to it, obviously. But yeah, go listen to the show. And one more resume question for you. And it might be like two questions, honestly, but there's so much talk about ATSs and resume formats and things like that. And there's kind of the obvious stuff where it's like, don't have crazy images on your resume and all this designs, because it'll get like I don't know, whatever the word is, but how much does formatting matter and what parts of formatting matters when it comes to these resumes?
So how much formatting matters more, the more competitive the industry is. Because the more competitive an industry is, the more applicants apply. Look, when I recruited, right? If I only got like 20, 30 applications, cool, I can check it. But a lot of recruiters are recruiting for 10 to 20 plus jobs at the same time. And if they work for a well-known company, they can get, some of those job apps can get 200 to 500 plus applications. And they just simply can't sort through all of them. Now, what they have to do is, these systems will rank resumes. I've tested formats and I've had people come to me with good formats. And I was like, hey, remove the underlines, remove the italics, remove everything fancy. The only thing fancy I have on my resume is bold, you know, as I sent it to you. And people got more interviews without changes in content. Like some people got 2 to 3x more interviews without changes in content. So then I was like, wow, that's crazy. So format is important, but you still need good content. It's just like, think about a marketing campaign. It's like when you're creating a social media post, the copy is important, the images is important, the hashtag, like everything plays a part. So it's like format is one part. And what I've seen is it's like, think about a car with a flat tire won't go from point A to B. So you can have the best content on your resume, but sometimes the format can hold you back. And it sucks because it's super easy to be in your control. It's like very easy. Now, the next thing is content. Like, are you selling yourself? Are you highlighting how you have added value to an organization? Have you highlighted context? Like maybe, hey, you manage big campaigns. Like I've seen some who are like, hey, we need someone who's managed budgets of like 20 plus million. So if you've managed budgets of 10 to 15, hey, you can move up, but they're not going to choose someone who's only managed 100K because at that level, it's going to be very different and negotiation is very different at that level. So it's like, you don't want to just get someone who's never known that. And then they go in and they manage it the same way that they do a 10K campaign. And all of a sudden they burn through millions of dollars, right? You don't want that. Whereas like someone who's managed those large budgets will have an idea. Whereas like growth is okay, but they don't want you to make a crazy leap.
Well, it's time for our next segment, which is Spill the Tea with Lee. That's right. This is the sassiest podcast for B2B and we are going to get juicy. All righty. So first question here that we have to spill the tea on is, do college degrees even matter anymore? Like, kids are going into crazy debt. The student loan payments don't match the salaries most people are making, at least for a few years. Do degrees even matter? Should people be going to college? What do you think?
So even though I own no degree doc, I'm not anti-college. What I am is everybody needs to decide what's right for them and if it makes sense. So, for example, sometimes people ask me, should my son, daughter go to college? And they're like, my son, very good in school, did a lot of activities, high GPA, likes school, and is getting a full ride. In that case, look, it's different, right? There's no cost. It makes sense. Now you get another person who's like, my son hates school. My daughter hates school. They're very creative. They're very entrepreneurial. They don't want to go, but they're very hardworking. They weren't the best in the classroom. Then it doesn't make sense to go because too many people think 18 is the right age to go to college for everyone. Sometimes I've had some people who go back when they're way older, like when they're better students and all that. And I've seen people who are older students just be way better than younger students on average. Now, what I would tell people to do is you need to weigh your options. Like, look, some industries you're going to need to have a college degree, right? If you want to be a doctor, lawyer, dentist. Though I do have some radical opinions about that. I do think people should be able to become lawyers without a degree. If they can pass the bar, without going to law school, I think they have every right to be a lawyer. You know, maybe they have to get some work experience and some other stuff, right? And all that. So I'm always a fan of alternative paths, that there should be multiple paths to a destination. Now it's like, once you figure out whether or not you're a good student, one thing I really want to emphasize, just because you don't go to college, you have to put in work. So while a student puts in that amount of work, you have to put in your work your own way. So you still have to learn. You still have to take online courses. You can be more directed in that you can be more targeted and you can be more niche. That's what you want to do. Then the other thing is you have to really, internships are not going to take you the same way. So you may have to do unpaid work first. Now look, I hope everyone can get paid work, but the fact is you can use the time that kids are spending in class to get actual portfolio and body experience before. And then sometimes I've seen a lot of people, they're like, hey, I'm only going to take something paid. And it's like, hey, they could have done a short stint unpaid, or maybe 5 to 10 hours a week, And then from there, they can get that to the next level. So it's like, you have to figure out how to get experience. And you have to really dedicate and just realize it's not going to be, hey, 2 months, I'm going to be a software engineer. It may be 6 months. It may be a year. Like, I interviewed someone who's a AI, and he talked about how to break into AI. It was like a 6-year roadmap. Because you're competing with people who are getting masters and PhDs in this thing. So part of the roadmap was like, hey, you're going to spend a few years learning. Then you're going to spend a few years on the job. Then you're going to spend on top of the job, you're going to do X, Y, Z. So just realize that you have to put in work. Some cases, sometimes you have to go to college, but you don't absolutely need to, especially for software, marketing, sales, customer service, operations. There's many ways to get experience in these areas without a college degree. And newer industries care less about college degrees than older industries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd also say too, like, just because you have that degree doesn't mean you're like the best candidate. And I don't even mean in that way, but I mean, like, so I remember I was hiring interns once, and this girl had a master's in something marketing related, but she literally had no experience. Like, she didn't really intern anywhere. She didn't do that. So, like, comparing that to somebody who didn't have a master's but had all this experience, it was clear which one I wanted, the one with more experience and the one with skills. And again, yes, there's situations where entry level, it doesn't matter, but that's not what we were talking about.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, there's so many situations where it's like, hey, if you're a career transitioner, because here's the reality. It's like, let's say you're 35 and you want to switch careers and you don't have a college degree. Are you supposed to go back to school for 4 years? Like, now you don't have the support of your parent. You know, you're in a different life situation. The reality is 60% of college students come from middle class backgrounds and they have the support of like a parent or something, right? Because like, let's say you want to go away for college. Okay. Are you're going to live in that area? So how are you going to pay rent? How are you going to have the savings? All that stuff. And then, who, you know, maybe you have kids, you have other obligations and all that. And it's like, okay, now you want to, you know, they have the thing like, oh, I went to school and did that. Okay, so are you supposed to either go to school full time while working a job, or are you supposed to go to school part time for like 8 years? Like, you could just, there's so many quicker ways, and it just doesn't make any sense. So I always say, look at the whole picture. And that's why I have the podcast, so that people can really assess how people do it, right? And I go into realistic opportunities, not like, hey, my parents have, you know, I live for rent free and I can just switch anytime. Most people don't have that.
One, all right, so let's continue to spill the tea. Completely different topic, but one of the ways you learned English was through some cartoons. And I know this because you told me this. What were some of the most impactful cartoons for you?
You know what I remember as a kid? I used to watch Batman, the animated series, like the old one. That's such a, it still holds up. I used to love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And like Spider-Man. So I grew up on like the Fox Kids and like the Saturday morning cartoons, because, you know, I was born in 91. So around like 94 to 97, right? That's when I'm kind of watching TV and all that stuff. So those were my shows. And obviously, you know, the Power Rangers, you know.
Yeah, but you know what's great? Like, you're naming everything that's still like rebooted or around today. Batman, Spider-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yep. Like, how many times has this been remade? And there's so many cartoons. X-Men's coming back. X-Men Evolution, or Mutants, is back now.
Yeah, X-Men. Yeah, yeah. So they're making the X-Men 97. So I'm happy, because I actually watched it last year. I watched the whole series again. So it's like, again, one of the best theme songs. When I heard, I loved how they did it and how they incorporated it. So it's cool. I mean, look, people know that, look, we want our childhood, you know, we want to relive those childhoods. So I'm always a fan when they do those things.
Nostalgia is very powerful, people. Use it in your marketing, use it in your storytelling. But thank you so much for coming on. Before we wrap up, I always like to give our guests a chance to shout things out. So we should shout out your podcast again, nodegree.com, if you're speaking anywhere, anything else you'd want to shout out before we wrap.
No, I just really want to thank you for coming in. If anybody has any specific questions about, you know, just careers, feel free to reach out. I give free advice and stuff. And what I'll do is the sample resumes that I shared with you, as long as they don't have names, feel free to share them with your audience. Like, you know, I want to make sure that people at least have the right guide, follow the formats, spend time on the content. Like, I want to make sure. And then, yeah, you know, feel free to check out the No Degree podcast. And if you like this show and want to connect on LinkedIn, just send me a message and just put like hashtag Lee to B or something, so I know it came from the podcast.
Yes. Like, seriously, I cannot vouch enough. Like, great tips anywhere that your name is. So I feel like I drilled you so much on this podcast. I feel like it was just me drilling you with interview questions and resume questions. And I wanted to get my listeners' insights, but everything was super, super helpful. So thank you so much for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I will see you all for another episode of Lead2B next time. Enjoying Lead2B? Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Your reviews go a long way in supporting me. Thank you so much.